my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1, 2, 3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
The guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey friends, welcome to episode 256 of my 1, 2, 3 cents, the podcast. And if you have been following along for the last couple of months, you know the second Monday of the month is an episode called What If? Well, I've kind of tweaked it for the month of October to fit into the Halloween theme that I am going for. And instead of What If, we're doing a What Happened When Red Daniels was buried alive. And we are going to talk about Red Daniels, by the way, the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. We're going to talk about his buried alive match from 2017. We're also going to talk about the only 5 buried alive matches that we are aware of that have happened, and they've all, of course, been under the WWE banner. So be sure to stick around. Let me know what your favorite Buried Alive matches were. And if you were a Stride fan or are a Stride fan and were at that show back in December of 2017, let us know what you thought of the match. And I do plug it during the episode, but you can go watch that match on the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page. So be sure to check out that action. It's a great page to follow anyway. I am, of course, biased now that I am a former co-holder of the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Championships, myself and Heath Hatton, losing the belt Saturday night to the Kings of Destiny, Roger Mathis and Chris Hargis. Two big, brutal guys, to say the very least. But I got to tell you, and I have a video up on the My 123 Cents YouTube channel. If you haven't already, please go check that out and subscribe. I just want to say again here, and I'm sure Tyler and I will talk more about it on the next 2 is Greater Than 1 episode, but I am eternally grateful to Tyler for the opportunities that he has given me, because let's face facts, I'm a 46-year-old non-athletic individual who had no business being in that wrestling ring, but I had a lot of good people in there with me that were making me look better along the way and protecting me, and we told some good stories, and that's why I wanted to do it. I mean, obviously I was not showing off any kind of wrestling ability or any of that, but just the opportunity to tell what I thought was a good story was fun, and it was worth it, and I'm excited to see what the future holds for Stride Pro Wrestling as we continue on into year 4 in 2020. I can't believe we've been around for so long, but again, grateful for the opportunities to get into the ring and have a few matches here and there. I never say never, and you know, who knows what the next round may hold, but I enjoyed it, and I'm grateful for the fans. I am grateful for the boys and the women in the back who supported this, and to Tyler, obviously. And speaking of the show, besides losing the tag team championships, we were in a battle royal at the very beginning, the Boobash Battle Royal. Everybody dressed up in Halloween costumes. It was fun. I'd never done a battle royal before, and of course, I'm not a trained professional wrestler, so I did not do a whole lot, although made it to the end, or seemingly where I thought was the end, and then the Raging Redneck, or Redneck Hollywood Redneck, or Stone Cold Redneck, whatever he's going by now. I think it's the Stone Cold Redneck stuff. He comes out. He is hiding under the ring the whole time. He comes out and dumps me over the top rope. And so it was fun, though. It was a good night. The house was packed. I love when fans come out and have a good time and support, obviously, the show. But also when they come out and have a good time and have good things to say about it. And when they stick around after the show to talk and let you know that they had a good time, that's a rewarding feeling from top to bottom. Whether, you know, I was wrestling or not, it was a good time on Saturday night to be a part of the action. Of course, it was Fright Night. Our next show coming up on November 2nd. And we'll talk more about that in the next couple of weeks, and some other things I'm working on. And again, not trying to be secretive, but I haven't dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's yet. So once that is done, I'll make more announcements here and over on the My123Cents YouTube channel, which I am really trying to push and get going again as a strong force. In addition to audio, going to video, and the blog page is still up, the my123cents.com page, and I'm going to use that as kind of a platform to get the word out about all my other adventures and whatnot. So be sure to check it out. Red Daniels, by the way, is the guest who successfully defended his Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight title against Axe Allwirt, Riser, and the winner of that battle royal, Stone Cold Redneck. So telling a good story there between Red and Axe, too, who was the very first Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion. So I'm looking forward to seeing again where everything leads and what is going to happen next. El Magnifico successfully defending his legacy championship, however, was jumped by Mike Masters afterward. We're seeing the I don't know what the proper terminology would be, but the dissension of Dexter Roswell. He is snapped, losing in a bid against the No Limits champion, Bo Sawyer, who was the British Bulldog at the show. Big fan of the British Bulldog. Bo and I are going to sit down and talk to and do a podcast in the near future, so I'm looking forward to that as well. But it was just overall a great night of pro wrestling action. Notwithstanding getting our asses kicked and losing the belts, but it's all good. It's part of the story. It's part of the fun of being a part of Stride Pro Wrestling. And again, if you're not a part of it, definitely check out that Facebook page and just simply go to strideprowrestling.com. It'll take you right to the Facebook page. You can check out Instagram and Twitter as well. And also the YouTube channel. And I've been talking with Red Daniels about revamping and getting that up and running a bit stronger too. We've got a lot of subscribers and some great matches and videos up on the Stride Pro Wrestling YouTube channel. So check that out. And since I'm doing plugs right now, check out the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Greg Mahochko and Mike Luther with Nerds United. And then Greg also hosts or co-hosts the show, the Five Heart Podcast, all about Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics. Chad Smart, as we've mentioned before, has left Jittery Monkey, but we still support him and wish him well. Check out the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network. He's on Podbean right now, and I need to actually download the Podbean app and listen to his latest episode because it's not yet available through my usual listening device, but it will be soon. I'm sure he's working on all that, so check out check out Positive Cynicism. You can go to PositiveCynicism.com as well, or check him out on Facebook. I wish him all the best as well. The Skullbusters, they're happy. I'm sure that the championships have changed hands in Stride Pro Wrestling, but you know what? Give their show a listen. My friends over at Podzilla 1985, they're doing a good job too. And then the OVP podcast. Those are my main podcasts I listen to that aren't Conrad Thompson based. I do listen to Conrad too, all five of his shows now. But just support your local podcasters, the small indie podcasters. We're not making any money on this. We're doing this as a hobby. We're doing it because we love it, and we want to share our passions with the world. So that's my tip of the day, I guess. And my other tip would be to stick around and tune in for what happened when Red Daniels was buried alive.
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts, so if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
As promised, my guest this week is the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, Red Daniels. Red, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So it is obviously October, Halloween month, and one of the big matches associated with Halloween for me is the Buried Alive match. And you actually experienced one of these almost 2 years ago now. We were just talking about how fast time goes. Can you believe it's been almost 2 years since Buried Alive for Stride Pro Wrestling?
No, I can't. I've been going back through a lot of old matches and stuff, and it seems like just time just flies by. It seems, you know, I've almost been wrestling for 4 years now, and it's crazy. It seems not that long.
I know. It is so crazy. Stride is coming up on its four-year anniversary as well. We're going to get to the Buried Alive match that happened here in Stride in just a minute or two. We're going to run down some previous Buried Alive matches, though, because this concept, I believe, and in my research, and Red, correct me if I'm wrong, WWE was the only company that I found that had done Buried Alive matches in the past. The first one being in 1996 at the In Your House Buried Alive pay-per-view. It was the main event, of course, The Undertaker beating Mankind. And that was a back-and-forth feud. I loved the feud between Undertaker and Mankind. This was obviously well before the infamous Hell in a Cell match with the two, but that summer and into the fall of 96, and I don't know if you were watching yet at that point. I know you were pretty young. Some hellacious matches between the two, and I think Mankind kind of proved himself as the Undertaker or one of the Undertaker's toughest opponents.
Yeah, so I wasn't watching at this point. I came in like 97. I would have been very young, 96. So, I mean, I've watched it since. I watched all of them, you know, in preparation for the match that I had, but it's a good one. It's not my favorite. Undertaker's in my top five favorite wrestlers, though Mankind isn't. But that's definitely, it's a good one. I like it. I don't know if anybody's ever done Buried Alive except WWE to this point. I couldn't find anything, that's for sure.
Yeah. So the other four Buried Alive matches, 2 years later at Rock Bottom, that was an In Your House as well. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin beating The Undertaker, and I believe the championship was on the line. One that really, for some reason, these next two really stick out to me. It's The Undertaker and Big Show beating The Rock and Sock Connection, of course, Rock and Mankind on SmackDown.
I was going to say, yeah, wasn't that on SmackDown?
It was. Weird. 20 years ago this month. Wow. Or it might have been in September, but yeah, it was in 1999. It was right after SmackDown debuted. I don't think it was that very first episode, but it was soon into the infancy of SmackDown. Vince McMahon actually beat The Undertaker. This one also stood out to me because I believe, if I remember correctly, the Nexus. Oh no, wait, it was Nexus that attacked when Kane wrestled.
Yeah,
Undertaker.
That's the one that ended the the biker gimmick.
Yes,
that's the one that he came back.
And then he came back, did Kane interfere in the Vince McMahon match?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Believe that was the same Survivor Series where Kane beat Shane McMahon in the ambulance match and tombstoned him on the hood of the ambulance. Of course, after tombstoning Linda McMahon, so it was kind of a weird dynamic with Vince McMahon being the heel and Shane and Linda being faces, but. Of course, Undertaker loses that one, and then Undertaker loses several years later, 7 years later at Bragging Rights 2010, and that's where the Nexus gets involved and helps Kane
and they
retain
never
or win the world title, right?
They never explained that storyline.
No, they didn't.
He retained. He didn't win. He's only been the champ twice.
Okay.
Money in the Bank, and then he won it for one day in like 98 or
okay.
The Hell in a Cell.
So this is very interesting to me. The Undertaker has been in all five Buried Alive matches, which I guess you would expect, as he is in most of the casket matches WWE has ever done, and
he loses most of the time.
He wins two and loses three. So not a great record, but I think, you know, a lot of times too, you know, he had that big casket match with Shawn Michaels at the Royal Rumble. He has that big casket match with Yokozuna at the Royal Rumble and kind of comes up on the short end of those as well. What of those five was your favorite Buried Alive match?
The Stone Cold and Undertaker one, just because they're both two of my favorite wrestlers. And that one's great. That one's head and shoulders above the rest. I like the Kane Undertaker one from Bragging Rights too. They never explain why the Nexus helps Kane either. That's one of those mysterious that just happened, and then they never went on anywhere with it after. The Vince McMahon one's cool because it's Vince in a Buried Alive match, and then it brought back, you know, my favorite version of The Undertaker.
And then, now, was that – okay, which one was it – which one was it where Undertaker's hand pops up through the dirt? Do you remember? Was that
– is that – that's had to have been
the one with – yeah, Austin, because I – yeah, I'm going to say, because I
always wondered how they did that.
Yeah, because he's obviously Biker Taker at Survivor Series.
Yeah, I don't know how they did that one, because he, I don't know, they had to have some kind of trap door where he could come and put a hand through or something. I always wondered how they got the hand.
Because they use a lot of dirt as well. And I remember, for me, I think kind of one of the things that stood out to me on that Undertaker Big Show one on SmackDown, I remember the Big Show throwing Mankind, and he, like, chucks him like a lawn dart, and it's like this 300-pound guy just plop, and the thud that he made. And, you know, this was back when, you know, Mankind, Mick Foley, whatever incarnation you want to call him, he was, you know, this was, what, 8 months, 9 months after getting his brain scrambled with The Rock in the Last Man Standing match. But that match was pretty brutal for network television, I thought, at the time.
Yeah, if you watch it, Triple H hits Big Show with a sledgehammer, like, for real. Not like where he puts his hand on it. He just hits him in the back. And I was like, oh, my God, that's kind of hurt.
So, obviously, these matches, and, you know, you mentioned Stone Cold and the Undertaker one, must have inspired something to kind of get the ball rolling, because it was about this time, 2 years ago, as we mentioned, Stride Pro Wrestling, we were still over in the mall in Marion, and you and Chris Hargis start working a program. And I guess kind of the thought was, the blow-off, if you will, was going to be a Buried Alive match, which, as we mentioned earlier, if it's been done on the indie level, we've never seen it before. Mm-hmm. You know, other than these five matches previously, we know of no other Buried Alive matches. So what was it about Buried Alive, and what were the other alternatives in your mind?
Well, so it kind of started off half as a joke. Mm-hmm. I would bug Hatton all the time. I'd say, hey, I want to do like a Buried Alive or something. Wouldn't it be crazy if we did like a Buried Alive? And then I also wanted to do a casket match. I really wanted to do a casket match, but that's kind of done. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do casket matches on the indies. So I thought, I've never seen Buried Alive. So, I mean, I made my pitch to Hatton a couple times, and he always kind of laughed it off. And then finally he called me one time, and he was like, well, are you serious about it? And I was like, you know it. So, I mean, I got the finances together. It wasn't cheap, you know, to build the large set and everything. And It was a lot of work. I won't get into the actual, you know, mechanics of everything.
We're going to keep it like Bruce Pritchard does on his show. You're not going to tell you how the sauce is made, so to speak.
But, I mean, it had grass. There was dirt. Let me tell you something, too. In December, it is hard to get dirt. We stole some dirt from the mall.
That's right, we did.
But it's hard to get dirt. And I spent over $150 on bags of soil. And I remember asking somebody at Home Depot, I was like, hey, where do you guys have your soil? And they were like, I don't know if we have any. And I bought everything that they had.
Oh, wow.
So, and then I just wasted it all. So hard to get that out of the building, too, FYI.
Yeah.
But, I just wanted to do something like, so my mentality is always like, what would bring somebody to the show? And I know that people come for wrestling and people come for, you know, but like, I mean, what's something that I can tell a guy, like what can I pop guys I work with and go, hey, I'm going to wrestle a guy and we're going to bury each other. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of what I'm just always trying to bring as many eyes to Stride and as many eyes, you know, to many people to the show. And so that was just something that it, you know, it's kind of like a dream to have one of those matches. And the story we got to tell was amazing. And I mean, like, it's still remembered to this day. I feel like any time that, like, there's any remote chance of that Hargis and I could wrestle, there's always going to be that, you know, like, oh, you know, Hargis buried that guy. Mm-hmm. And it was an opportunity to step away and to take a different look at the product and to, you know, to be where I was and to step away from everything, which was probably good for me at the time, too. So, it was an incredible experience. And, it you know, looking back on it, it's almost crazy to see that it happened.
Well, and talk to me about this, because I have made a big assumption that everyone listening knows what a Buried Alive match is. Basically, the goal is to get your opponent out of the ring to the set, for lack of a better word, where the gravesite is. dump them into that hole, and cover them with dirt. Yeah. So they are literally being buried alive. Now, I'm going to go on record and say that that up until that point, well, I take that back. I was going to say this was definitely the most physical match we had at the mall when we were vacating or occupying, rather, the Illinois Star Center Mall. Without a doubt, you know, there had been some ladder matches previously, but because of the size of the building or the ceilings and whatnot, you know, we couldn't do anything too spectacular at the mall. This definitely was insane, and probably one, it was definitely our largest mall crowd and one of our biggest crowds ever for Stride, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I can distinctly remember Shane wrestling, and it was like his second match. He only trained for a little bit. And Shane Lauder. And he told me that he walked out and he just stood there. He froze because he didn't realize how many people were there. And I'm not gonna lie, if you look through the curtain, the way that the building was set up, you could only see the people dead ahead.
Right, yeah.
Little did I know, because I was like, whoa, my eyes got big. I walked out through the curtain and deep to the left is full, and there's never people over there. Yeah. And deep to the right is full. And I mean, those bleachers went like six or seven deep, and there were people everywhere, and it was, I couldn't believe it. And I was happy to bring that many people to see all the other great guys on the card. You know, I mean, I still have guys at my work asking me about Dexter Roswell and Tony Flood and stuff like that, guys who came just for that one match, you know, and they come back too, and then they you know, they remember stuff just because the only reason they ever came was because, you know, I told them, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna wrestle this dude, and at the end one of us is gonna get buried alive. And so it was, yeah, the crowd was insane, and there were so many people there who I'd never seen before, and we tried to both, Hargis and I tried to both make it feel as big as possible, and you know, and I think we did it justice, and I'm really proud of it. It's definitely my favorite match I've ever had.
So I mentioned the physicality part of it, because obviously the logic is that you're not going to willingly go over to this hole and have the chance of being thrown in there. So you have to beat the crap out of each other to get your opponent to that hole, and then, you know, pick up a 200 plus pound individual and throw them into this hole. So you guys are hitting each other with everything but the kitchen sink. And there, I remember a shopping cart, and folks, you can go check this out. There was a live feed of this match that's still archived on the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page. So go to strideprowrestling.com. It'll take you right to our page, and then check out videos. But, you know, how physical did you get? I mean, how much pain did you inflict, or how much pain was inflicted on you during the course of that match, would you say?
Oh, there was a lot, but so there was a chair tower, which we broke like five chairs because I stacked up, it was over 30 chairs, I think, and then went through it. There was three tables, shopping cart, like you said. There was something else too. I can't remember.
That was the convenience of working or having matches in a shopping mall, because you could grab a cart and have fun with it.
It's funny because until the match with Cash last weekend, I had my worst cut from that shopping cart.
Oh, really?
It ripped the skin off my fingernail.
Ow.
Actually, yeah. I got thrown through the, you know, when you stack them up.
Mm-hmm.
I got thrown through it, and when I was going through it, it caught my hand and it ripped a big patch of skin off. So that was one of the worst cuts I'd had to this point. And it's funny that it happened off just a shopping cart. None of the other crazy stuff. But yeah, it was physical. To that, the match that Cash and I had in Centralia was definitely more physical, because I got a lot of cuts from that one. Skateboard and the belt cut me, and it's tin can in my back and different things. But that one was a different realm. But it was, buried alive was a completely different aspect, and we didn't, you know. We wanted to go out there and make it a logical match, make it a match that made sense, and I feel like that we did.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe kind of the closing sequence, because I was recording it and trying to watch it at the same time, which is never an easy task, but you end up, Hargis was in the hole at one point, he gets out, you end up in the hole at one point, and it looks as if Hargis has won, and then you reach up and grab his ankles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was starting to throw the dirt on me, and I got back up, and he actually put me in the crossface, if I remember.
Yeah.
I got, because I crawled out, I started fighting him. He got me in the crossface, and I passed out, and then that was the end of the match. And I, you know, that's that's, you know, that's the way it goes. I can remember throwing him off of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
The stage was super sturdy.
Yeah.
Could have probably slammed somebody on it, and into the dirt. But yeah, that was the ending of it.
So, okay. So you're now, you know, you get rolled into the hole, you're laying there, and you eventually come to, and you are covered in dirt. So what goes through your mind? You obviously know that you've lost this match, but I think by that point there are bigger fish to fry. So what is your state of mind when you know that you have been buried alive?
Man, it's a sobering feeling to have the dirt, you know, getting thrown. And that dirt's cold, man. Mm-hmm. It really is. And you're laying there and the dirt's getting thrown on you. And the worst thing is that there's 300 to 400 people who are just ecstatic,
yeah,
to watch you, you know, get buried. And it's cool. And then at the same time, it's like, man, they must really hate me that this man actually just murdered me, and,
yeah,
you know, in their eyes, and they're cheering for it. And I can remember after just sitting on the ground, everybody coming up and shaking my hand and stuff and tell me, you know, like that was great and like how awesome it was. And I was just like, you know, the days after it didn't hit me until like a year after of how much of an impact that match had, when I had people come to me that I didn't even know who were like, man, that Buried Alive match was crazy. And I'm like, Buried Alive match? I'm like, I hadn't even thought about that in forever, because I wasn't at the shows for a while. So
yeah
it's definitely a sobering feeling to know that people are super excited that you're getting buried.
Because, you know, again, kind of for backstory purposes, back then you were the heel and Hargis was the face, and it all kind of started when he accidentally hit your girlfriend at a show. And then you kind of went after his girlfriend, and it kind of built to this, you know, it was, like you said, it was a great story, and this was a great way to end this match. And as we've mentioned too, a very unique way, especially for an indie company, to put together a match like this.
Yeah, I can remember so the night that Hargis challenged me to it, he had I had, you know, tried to put his girlfriend through a table, and he came out, made the save, mm-hmm, and everything. And he grabs the mic and he says, you know, that we're going to have a match to settle this. And the crowd's, you know, he's like, and you're not going to get away. And the crowd's like, first blood, cage match. And he's like, nope. And he says, Buried Alive. And man, everyone popped. And I was just like, oh, they're ready for this. Like, this is crazy. And, you know, looking back on it, it's awesome. It's such an incredible moment, and I was just so happy that we got to, you know, entertain the fans, and that everybody, because like my biggest fear was going to be that we would show up and everyone would think that the grave looked like crap, and that, you know, the match was stupid, and no one would care, and everyone would be like, this is dumb, why are these guys doing this? This is stupid, you know. So and it was the exact opposite. Everyone, you know, I got so many compliments, and I worked literally every single practice from October 1st till November or whatever building that thing.
Yeah.
You can ask guys who came to practice and the guys who trained at that time. That's like all I did. And it was a lot of work, and you know, it was awesome, man. That's all I can say about it. It was just an amazing experience.
So obviously the work and the money and the effort that you put into it was worth it, because we're still talking about it, and fans, more importantly, are still talking about it.
Definitely worth it, yeah. And I mean, everything I've done in wrestling is worth it, you know. And mm-hmm. I don't have very little regrets, but that one definitely goes to the top. And I think every day about what am I going to do to top it, because mm-hmm. that's just kind of how I am. I remember walking out of it and thinking, like, well, we got to do an Inferno match next, or we got to do some kind of barbed wire rope match, and Hathead would be like, hey, you know, let's be realistic. And I remember wanting to build this giant Elimination Chamber style thing, and I remember, or Punjab prison, or just all kinds of different. I you know, because that's just how my mind works. And we're just thinking, where can we go next, and what can make it next, you know. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe the fans can give suggestions what they'd like to see next, because the Buried Alive was definitely something, and it was awesome. Maybe the Buried Alive 2. I always joke now that we're at the Carterville building that we can just open the garage door and have a Buried Alive match in the parking
there
lot.
There you go. Yeah. So talk to me too about, you know, because you talked about trying to convince Tyler about doing this match, and he signed off on it. what was the conversation with Hargis like?
I didn't get to have it, so okay. I hadn't had it. I just remember I looked at him and I said, I'm serious about this, you know, because I'm sure that indie guys like to say, you know, we're going to do this crazy spot. Mm-hmm. I looked at him. I remember as soon as we started, I go, dude, I'm serious. I go, we're going to do this. And he kind of laughed and he was like, all right, man, you make it happen. And I remember his face was, you know, just like most people's when he saw it. He was like, this is awesome. Yeah. And Hargis is the kind of guy who takes a minute, you know, and then he gives you this look. And he's like, you know, this is awesome. And I've had him do it a couple times. And he's, you know, he's one of the closest people I know in wrestling. And he's a great mentor. He did a lot of good for me. And, you know, I like to think that you got some green kid looking at you going like, I'm going to build a buried alive set. We're going to bury each other. And a lot of guys would go like, I ain't doing this. Or a lot of guys would, you know, I'm not giving that guy anything. And we had a great match back and forth. He was super awesome, and it was great.
Yeah, because you're about 18 months into the business by this point, right?
Yeah, I'm not. You know, I'm not anything special, yeah, for sure. And so for Hatton both to believe in me enough to say like, let's see what happens. And I think I delivered. And I remember being just as surprised as everybody else that, you know, that we drew that many people. Just like Strideversary, man. Like, mm-hmm, the Strideversary. It's funny. So the end of Red Daniels was laying in the grave, having dirt cover you, and everybody's cheering. And then the rebirth was just as, you know, it was even more unexpected to come back, and everybody's so excited and so happy to see me. So it's crazy how, like, there's two different spectrums.
And it was against Hargis in that initial contest.
Yeah, and so it couldn't be more fitting how that happened. And I know that Hatton told a story on last week's episode, but, like, that return had been canceled like 8 times.
Right.
And it was at I was going to be Santa Claus. I was going to be, you know, I was going to come out and I was going to, you know, be bad guy and all kinds of stuff. And, like, the way it happened, I couldn't be more thankful. I couldn't be more thankful for the support of the fans. And I'm so happy in the position I'm in now. And I'm so happy that I get to do what I do. And, like, Buried Alive did set it up. And, you know, the fans are the only reason the Buried Alive was successful. They're the only reason I'm successful now. And yeah, it's just a crazy experience. It's really crazy to look back and talk about it.
So we talked semi-jokingly that perhaps Buried Alive 2 will come to Stride at some point. It's been 9 years since the last Buried Alive match on a national level. Who would you see, and I'm putting you on the spot, I know, who would you think would be able to pull off a Buried Alive match in 2019? AEW, WWE, Impact, whatever company you want to pick.
Well,
who do you think would do it?
So WWE, if I'm not going to include, like, the part-time guys like Taker and stuff.
Yeah.
I could see, like, Aleister Black and The Fiend or somebody having a Buried Alive.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
I would hate to see an AEW one because it'd be like Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc or something terrible, and I would hate it, and it'd be some crap spot fest. That's just me shooting on AEW, but yeah, I could see, like, The Fiend in like Aleister Black, or, you know, even like maybe the Viking Raiders or somebody, or, you know, something like that. Some NXT guy that's slipping my. I even see, like, the Velveteen Dream doing it or something. You know, something that would be, you wouldn't expect. Like, you wouldn't expect Brad Dan and Chris Hargis to have an amazing
right.
one. And we did. So I could definitely see that. But, like,
I didn't think about Aleister Black. That's a really good choice because, you know, obviously The Undertaker, I don't necessarily think, you know, and this is not a knock against him. I mean, he's been a WWE character for almost 30 years. And then add to what he's done before that, he's in his fit. And again, not knocking age by any means, as I'm an old shithead myself. But
tag team champion.
Well, yes. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, this would be, if they were to do it, it would be the first time without The Undertaker in it. And, you know, Aleister Black does kind of almost seem to be that kind of guy who would fit that mold. And because I do like his entrances, and he got some showtime on Monday night, you know, with some vignettes and whatnot. So I like that choice. And of course, The Fiend too, I think, is an obvious one. Where are you on his characters? We're kind of talking about Halloween things here.
I like the character. I like that you'd barely see him, and I like what they're doing with him. They you know, I like that they're using Bray Wyatt in a big way, but they're using him sparingly because he's a guy who got hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Fiend character and everything is extremely intentional because they don't want him to be the guy who's wrestling every night because he did get hurt, you know, during his first real main roster run. So it's a way to use a guy who's got a ton of charisma, a guy who's got a ton of ability, you know, to use him and to use him the correct way and to make sure he's not getting hurt and stuff like that. So I'm high on him. I wasn't high on the Hell in a Cell match. I don't know if anybody – I feel like they booked themselves in a corner and said that, like, if you're not ready to – you know, go all the way with the Fiend, then don't put him in the match where he's got to lose. And Hell in a Cell is just a horrible, you know, ending it with the way they did.
Yeah.
Was just, people don't want to see these no finishes anymore. And that's, but even AEW's doing them too. So at the same time, people want to complain. Like, I'm sick of seeing main events end in no finish.
Yeah. Well, and let me, because we don't, you know, kind of don't talk a whole lot about current product stuff, but. Since this is Halloween related and this all just kind of happened too with Hell in a Cell, and we're talking about the Fiend specifically, where do you go from here with that character now? Because, I mean, he was basically unbeatable after Seth Rollins hit I don't know how many curb stomps, which was his finisher, and he's won all kinds of matches with in the past. So where do you go from here with that character, do you think?
Yeah, I don't even know where you go, honestly. I would probably, you know, keep him off for a little bit and then bring him back in a different capacity away from Seth Rollins. Because if you're going to have, I mean, because at the end, the WWE did the statement that said that the ref had to stop it because, you know, well, people's well being and stuff like that. But like, if they're doing this Michael Myers build with him or whatever, that he's this unstoppable guy, then you really shouldn't have had him be stopped by the ref. There felt like he needed the ref to stop and save him. Yeah. So I don't know where you go. I mean, you haven't, and personally, maybe you have him just get a quick win back on Seth or something, but then he's got to be the champ. So it's a confusing situation. I'm not the booker for a reason. You know, I'm just a fan. And being a wrestler has opened my eyes completely to see things in a different way. So I'm still learning every day. So I don't really know where to go with it, honestly.
So on a scale from 1 to 10, where do you put Buried Alive concept? Not any particular match, but of the specialty matches out there, like Hell in a Cell or cage matches or casket matches, where do you have the Buried Alive matches, the concept for you as a fan?
If we're gonna, like, ladder match is probably my favorite, just because it makes the most sense, you know, like, hey, we're gonna hang the belt and you gotta get it. Because in a cage matches used to be awesome, but because, like, you know, you gotta escape, but now they do so many cage matches they just end in a pin, and I hate it. It's definitely, it's like, it's probably two behind a ladder match. I love Buried Alive. It's such a cool concept, and it's the only problem with them, and I feel like the reason that they don't happen as much is because someone has to, you know, get buried and go away. You can't lose a Buried Alive match and then show up on Raw the next night. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, that's why they're used so sparingly, and they got to, you know, be used, you know, they have to be thought out. And it seems like some of the WWE product now isn't thought out. So I don't know if they even could do one, but it's two behind a ladder match, just because the ladder match is so perfect and they've been done so well, and it makes sense, and it's a great way to, you know, if both guys are champ or whatever, you know, to just hang it above the ring.
Well, once again, folks, my guest this week, Red Daniels, the Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion. Keep up with everything going on in Stride Pro Wrestling and Red Daniels. Head on over to strideprowrestling.com, and maybe, just maybe, we'll see that Buried Alive 2 down the road or some other specialty match coming up. Our next show, by the way, coming up on Saturday, November 2nd. We will see you there. Thanks, everyone, for listening this week, and we'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.